So, welcome everybody to the UK Monday night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is John Dee, speaking on the topic of the preface and the forewords, circle and triangle. And here he is, John. Welcome. I wish we could show the visual.
Hi everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm glad you're here. Thanks so much for asking me to speak here. For those of you who don't know me, first I need to do a sound check. I had some sound challenges today. You guys able to hear me all right? Cool. All right. No AirPods today. We had a little glitch. So I'll give you a little of my background so that you know a little bit about who I am if you don't already know me. Let me see. My sobriety date is 2/14/93, and I was lucky enough to be exposed to this work really early on in my recovery because I was an attender of a Tuesday night group in Santa Monica where Joe Hawk and Dan Sherman were regulars. And so at the beginning, we didn't have a booklet that so a handy booklet like BBA. You had to actually find someone. We called it the work. And you had to sit next to the person and they would ask you the questions, and you would scribble some stuff into your big book. And it was kind of this, it was a little culty. I mean, it still sort of is, I guess, but you would find somebody and they would take you through the work. And it was this sacred thing because the person was your step guide. They weren't your job counselor or your, marriage counselor or anything else. They were kind of a project manager. Their idea was, I'm going to take you through this process. And then you're going to rely on this other power that's not me to hold you and carry you through life and keep you free of your obsession. So this was some new information, right? I mean, some of us in that group, there were people who would come who had a lot of dry time who were really, we had this new phrase back in 94, untreated, which a lot of groups hated, right? I'm not drinking, I'm treated. Anyway, at some point, my step guide, who happened to be my sponsor already, which was handy, took me through this work. And then I moved away and I called him. I said, I want to go through the work again. Can I come down and see you? I had moved away. I was, about 90 miles north. And he said, well, Dan finally put together a booklet of all the work we've been doing. And I was like, oh, great. So Dan Sherman finally like made it, transcribed it into an actual booklet. He's like, yeah, you should give him a call. And he said, you should stop worrying about how crappy the meetings are up there in Bakersfield and start worrying about what you're bringing to the meeting. Try to assess what's needed there. See where you can be useful. And that was kind of a helpful idea. So I called Dan Sherman, and that was like magic. We really hit it off. We would have these pillow talk things till late at night, talking about spirituality. And he was excited having finally put all of this stuff into this booklet. And he would ask me for some, advice and feedback because he was making a second edition. And he didn't take most of my suggestions. At that time I was getting a master's in English lit with a grammar and linguistics concentration. So he's like, I think some of the grammar here is bad. And I'm like, yes, it is. It is. When you say academic, that means obvious, not good to know. Like there's a dozen things in here that are just flat wrong. And he didn't take most of my advice. Like he left most of it in there. He was pretty attached to the book and it was his little baby. So, but he took some of my advice in the second edition. So, that's like some of my background. And what happened there in Bakersfield, I wanted to create the fellowship that I craved, right, in a way. So Tyla and a guy named Dave Marquez and Dan Sherman kind of helped me. And within a few months, I had 20 guys in my living room and I'm taking them to this BBA group. Like, and I hardly know what I'm doing, right? We're working with a booklet now. He's like, yeah, it's not one at a time anymore. So I don't get too much into the history. You guys have probably heard some of this before, but that's my background, and I've continued to do groups, and I've continued to work with people using that guide. So to me, it's been really useful and really helpful. But there's a mistake I made in my approach early on. It's an easy mistake to make. I took this book as a textbook, which is a useful abstraction, but it's not true. It's not accurate. I've edited textbooks. I've written textbooks. It's not a textbook. It's at a higher level. I would say this is a sacred text. I would say this is a living document. I would say that my approach was I was trying to get information, whereas what I really needed was transformation. I thought I could have a change of mind. I needed a change of heart. I needed something transformative to happen to me. And if you just approach this only as a textbook, it's really useful. It's a nice approach and a good abstraction. It's a good way to make an approach with your mind, right? Which is the tool that we're starting out with. I have my mind. I know how to figure stuff out. I can write stuff down. I'll learn a lot of stuff. It turns out that might not quite be enough. So what I'd like to start with is a prayer that I have written in my big book, and it's called the Set Aside Prayer. And there it is. Maybe you can see it. And there's a different version of this that I've adopted now with a friend of mine who has more time than me in the program. Instead of saying, God, please enable me to set aside the things I cannot, now I just say, God, set aside the things I cannot. Why don't you just do the whole thing? Don't give me anything to do. I might mess it up. So, God, don't enable me to do anything. You please do it. Please set it aside, everything I think I know, for an open mind and a new experience. Heaven is gained with an open mind and an open heart, right? And an open hand. Right. So making an approach to this work is I'm submitting myself to a process in the hopes of transformation, in the hopes that my old ideas can be stripped away from me. And the beginning of this process for a lot of us can be a little bumpy, right? A little crunchy and weird. It's not this smooth sailing surrender that I just float into and it's like, yeah, okay. No, I'm trying to break gravity. I'm trying to hopefully allow my higher power to rupture the dialectic and this agreement between the world and me that I've had, this rhythm that's kept me in the churn and kept me sick, that I can't think my way out of. I need something more profound than my mind and some stuff that I write in a book. I need a spiritual experience that's going to remove this obsession. I need an entire psychic change, as some people would say. Carl Jung, one of our spiritual godfathers of the program, says it in a really interesting way. If we don't make the unconscious conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. And Bill W. talks about unconscious drivers in his letter, Emotional Sobriety. And so I was told early on, I thought I could figure this thing out. Oh, this is great, a workbook? I'll just write all the stuff I need to write, and I'm good at homework. I mean, I was okay in school. Put me in class, I'm all right. The trouble is recess. What happens at recess? Uh-oh, that's where I start to have trouble, right? Interacting with my fellows. Just want to take a minute for a pause. So if we make an approach, I would encourage you to, yes, be really thorough. Put your harness, your mind, and do everything you can. Because this disease really only backs down in the face of love. It only backs down in the face of a full commitment with your heart of hearts, like all in. Sometimes for some of us, there's an obstacle, and I would call it a sort of occlusion, which is we're seeing the world through this prism, and the prism is a conditioned prism of self-interest. Everything that's coming through is like, what about me? How can I fix this? How can I control this? How can I win in this interaction? This never-ending thing. And in that space, your vision can get kind of darkened. It can become really dark in the sort of spirit planes, right? Or the emotional planes. And so what I'm hoping in some ways, metaphorically, is to move towards the light. is to have this prism of self, 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 self taken away. Self is what defeated us. You know, remove self from me. You know, self, self. Stop, help me stop selfing, right? And so it's almost impossible to do that, the book tells me, without a connection to a higher power. So I just keep in my heart this idea that what I'm doing isn't homework and it's not an intellectual exercise, although I might start that way. The disease centers in my mind, but the disease is not my mind. It just centers there. So what I'm trying to do in a way is really tricky, right? I'm trying to, if I take the set aside prayer to heart, to really and truly set aside everything I think I know so that I can really, truly have an open mind and really, truly have a new experience. Okay. So I don't know if we're, you know, I used to be a really diehard step technician, like a big book lawyer. Just give me an argument about a paragraph and I can win. You know, that's not what Dan meant. That's not what we meant. No, you're misinterpreting the paragraph. Blah, 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 blah. And I don't do that anymore because God is bigger than all of that stuff and will come and meet me more than halfway, like maybe 90% of the way. Like maybe in the Sufi saying, you know, when a man takes one step towards God, God takes more steps towards him than there are sands in all the oceans of time. Or just taking a first step. And I'm getting myself ready to do some preliminary work as I approach this first step, right? I'm making an approach and trying to enter the world of the spirit. There's a cost that I'm going to pay. Its cost is probably going to be some discomfort, right? I'm probably going to get out of my comfort zone. The cost is going to be some emotional discomfort, a disruption in the rhythm. It's going to mean trying to shift out of the churn. So in the first part, and I'll try to put this up, but I don't think it'll be, I have kind of an ancient book here. It's not. So you've got three sides to a triangle. And the way we used to say, and some of you know this, I'll try not to sound too mechanical here, is body, mind, and spirit, which actually appears in each step. But for the purposes of the book and for the purposes and approach, one of the things that you would ask someone as they approach this circle and triangle and write this, used to be in all our big books, they took it out for wise reasons, is that, let's say, on the side of the body, that there's unity and fellowship. I probably should stop doing this. I'm just going to say it. Hopefully some of you have your books with you, or I'm just giving a broad overview. You know, guys are not going through the work now. But if you were to look at it as a three-part disease, body, mind, and spirit, that you could ask a person, as far as the body or the unity or the fellowship goes, you know, is there a meeting that you're committed to? Are you bringing your body? I'm going to have to enlist the temple, you guys. Any plan of recovery that leaves out the body, we feel, is incomplete. And that phrase in a living document has meaning in early recovery with the physical addiction, and it has a deeper meaning later on. A lot of the phrases in spiritual texts have double and triple meanings. And a lot of them are, I don't know what you call it, parables in a way. Any plan of recovery which seeks to leave out the body, we feel, is incomplete, right? Something along those lines. So I'm going to need to bring the temple. I'm going to need to bring the body to meetings, ideally. Hopefully I have a commitment at a meeting. Hopefully I'm not a visitor in the program. I think there's circles of participation. I'll just say it quickly. Like, there's a visitor who pops in once in a while. There's a, I would say, a member. It's someone who's there regularly. They probably put money in the basket. They attend, they participate, they share. Then there's the stewards of the meeting. Those are people in the circle of participation who probably have a commitment. They're regularly there. You miss them when they're not there. They're the stewards of the meeting. You know, they're important people in the meeting. Sometimes they might be the secretary or the host or something. And then there's another level of commitment, which is when you're locked out of the building or the Zoom isn't working. Everyone often thinks of the same one or two people. And that's the sweet spot of the program, is to be all in with your whole heart in all three sides of the triangle, body, mind, and spirit. What it would look like would probably be to have a commitment at your home group, to be sponsoring people, meaning taking them through the step work, and to have gone through the steps yourself, right? I mean, we have all these systems and techniques, and I've been in like a bunch of different groups back and forth with BBA and some other big, really hardcore big book groups that are deep and effective and really powerful. But in the end, it's the same damn thing. It's attend your meeting, find a sponsor, go through the steps as they're outlined in the big book, and then turn around and take other people through the work. Love is the fulfillment of the law. We're fitting ourselves to be of maximum usefulness to other people.
Five minutes remaining.
Perfect. Thank you. If I'm in that spot, if I'm in that sweet spot of AA and I'm all in, I've tried the experiment, I've realized that my life is in peril in a way, and that I'm not going to be able to think my way out of it or talk my way out of it or write my way out of it. I've decided that I'm going to present myself for my healing. I'm ready for my healing. I'm ready for my close-up, God. I'm ready for you to see all my flaws. I'm ready to enter the world of the spirit here with my flaws upon you, me, and I'm ready to have them removed, and I'm ready for you to render me useful. So in doing this work, it is about doing this work and being thorough, but it's not in a way. It's not in a way, because if you think you're going to figure it out and win by doing the writing perfectly, it's suboptimal, right? It's less than ideal. The ideal is a kind of a series of actions, a series of surrendered actions. Each step in an ideal world will compromise my ego a little bit, will put me in a space of openness, will put me in a position to be ready for my healing and to be ready to be transformed. God doesn't make too hard of terms with those who seek him, right? We're going to write some stuff down. We're going to read some things. We're going to go through the motions. We're going to, you know, write down some resentments against people and still in institutions and principles. We're willing to have those removed. We'll look at some of the character defects. We're going to ask those to be removed. I mean, if you're just starting out in this process, and if we're covering this material, I think that's part of what's going on. You have everything you need inside you, but it's going to take everything you've got. It's really, if you really want to shift your consciousness, it might take a full hearted commitment. And the deeper you get into that, and the sooner you get in that pink cloud, which you never really have to get off of, it's the death of an ego. I've seen people get back on it when they've thrown themselves back in the program with their whole heart and get the freedom and expansion and the usefulness, you know? And you're looking at the meeting, you're like, God is in that woman. Oh my gosh. So loving, so kind, so present. I heard some of it yesterday. Tyler shared, or the other day, she shared at a meeting that I happened to listen to. It was on Friday, a big BBA, you know, they're going through the workshop, and I'm going through it too. And it was so beautiful and powerful and generous. You know, she's a good friend of mine. I was at her very first workshop when she was just starting out. I could talk about this work for a long, long time. This is your journey. This is your individual journey. You know, you will find your way, and it might not be exactly like someone else's way. One of the things I have written in my book is, don't seek to follow the exact footsteps of the ancient masters, Bill and Bob. Seek what they sought, right? So I'm seeking. God could and would if he were sought, right? Not caught. So in the writing, in the preface, in the forwards, there are some useful insights. A lot of people skip over that information in a big book study. I think there's some powerful. What I've got in here is from the very first word, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are many, more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So I have my individual story, you guys, and it has some value, but it doesn't have real value until it becomes part of a larger story, a spiritual story, till I become one of the many thousands of people who've recovered. Then it has some traction. Then it has some resonance. So one of the considerations I've got is how can I myself become we? When did the we go from 100 to many thousands who had recovered, and why? How can I become them by taking these precise directions to recover from alcoholism? I've gone off the script of BBA sometimes a little bit, but do I comprehend, understand that I, as an active addict, alcoholic, am a very sick person? I've got that in the foreword. And I absolutely do, right? I acknowledge, I find out by seeing a little bit about what might be wrong with me. Although you discover more as you go along, right? This is an act of discovery. One of the things Dan used to share with me is like, you know, we're not trying to find out stuff we already know about ourselves and record it and remember it. We're trying to uncover something new. Behold, I bring something new, a new discovery. This is a process of uncovery, right? I'm sorry, uncovering and discovering, and in some cases, discarding. It's mostly, like most spiritual processes, a subtraction. It's a letting go. There's nothing to get, really. By letting go, letting go, letting go, I make enough room in the armor, and the mask comes off, and there's an opportunity for my higher power to radiate, you know, in me and through me. So if you know, if you're new to this process or you're revisiting it, I would encourage you to be, you know, our book doesn't really talk about speed except in step 10. It really talks about a lot about thoroughness. You know, there's a spark that started AA, you know, with Bill and Bob. I consider Bill and Bob to be master alchemists who used the métier of their time, which happened to be a form of Christianity. I think if they were alive now, they were what they called AA was an experimental search for a spiritual experience, right? That was their idea. Let's put this together. And when they were kicked out or left the Oxford group, they knew they were in possession of something really sacred and something really important, and that they needed to record it, that they needed to write it down. We have here in the big book the first group conscience in some ways. I have the original of this with all the writing in it from all the dozens of different people in different colored ink. And it's astonishing how many people weighed in on this book. Bill thought of himself as more of a referee than an author, right? Because he took a lot of the suggestions that were made. I think they're beautiful. I like the edition of the book just as we have it now. The first edition, I think the corrections that were made to the very first edition were right on, were beautiful. They were a group conscience. So you have, you know, a powerful, you know, totem here, a magic book in a way. Right. There's really power in it that's transferable. How are we doing on time? I'm just trying to gauge. I don't want
We're about at time. Yeah.
to. Okay,
Yeah.
great. So let me just wrap up by saying thank you so much. I have no idea the format of this meeting, but I'm so glad to be here and to be asked to share here. I'm probably going to get up and try to put a little more light on me. I didn't know the sun was going to go behind a cloud, so I'm here and I can hear you, and I look forward to hearing you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.